Intervju Radija Študent.
Listeners, a bit of a quick story, how you guys met and how you started.
Sure. We are Suna and Sharon. We're from Denmark, although we haven't lived there for the past 10, 11 years. But we met back in Denmark in 99 or 2000. And Suna came back from the US, where he had been writing a bunch of songs, which then later on became the foundation for the first two albums, Live It On and Chain Gang of Love. And he asked me if I wanted to try and play some music together, so we did. And things happened kind of fast for us. We got signed by Columbia Records in 2002, and then, you know, 10 years later,
now
11 years later. Yes, we work with Vice Records in the US, and we've worked with various, we sort of license our album to different labels. And
how come you chose us and they chose you?
Well, we chose each other, I guess. I mean, we were done with our contract with Columbia Records was up, and we didn't renew, so then we started the collaboration with Vice Records.
Or do you feel like it's like now after The Raven in the Grave, it's like a continuation of a new sound that you found, or?
No, I mean, I think all our albums sound distinctively like The Ravenettes in some way. I mean, they definitely all have different personalities, so to speak, but I think they sound very Ravenettes, all of them. But I don't know, I don't think we've found necessarily a new direction or anything. It's just each album is sort of its own entity and its own sound and period in time, moment in time. But we're done with making albums now.
You're not gonna do another one.
I don't think we're gonna make any more albums.
This is it for you?
No, we'll make songs, but we won't make albums, I don't think. I mean, we'll see what happens, but that's the consensus right now.
Okay. So it's like the White Stripes, just a bit shorter version. After some period, it's gonna be over.
Well, are they still a band?
No, they broke up.
We're not going to break up.
An interesting concept. It's just like no more albums, just songs.
No more albums, just songs. Yeah, we'll see.
Do you feel like in the past have you felt like an album had to grow into you, so you could feel it more whilst performing?
Our own albums?
Yes.
I think it's just the art of making albums doesn't really exist anymore. It's just because times have changed and people are not interested in albums anymore. That's why people are not buying albums. But people really are interested in songs, so they're selling more songs than ever. So I think that, you know, it's pretty a natural progression, I think, you know?
I mean, sort of like in the heyday of album making, you know, bands would go in. That's Fleetwood Mac, for instance. You know, they would go and record an album for 2 years in the studio. You know, but those days are over. And I think the way times are right now, and the kind of short attention span that people have, and sort of like just the way that we function, it makes kind of sense. We always like to be spontaneous and have that sort of The thought of making a song and recording it and then releasing it three weeks later is very appealing to us, because we never really liked the whole idea that you have to finish an album 4 months before you even release it, because for us at that point then it's already old news, you know. So we sort of like the instantaneous, you know, feel of making a song, recording it, and then releasing it right away, which you can, because, you know, if you have a very direct communication with your fans, you can just throw it out there right away.
Now on the internet, it's much easier.
It's much easier. And, I mean, that's kind of an exciting thought, you know.
But when you spoke about Fleetwood Mac, do you look up to those kind of artists who use that much time? Would you think it would be wise to maybe try to use this kind of approach in album making? Does it not make any kind of sense to them?
I don't think it would work for our music, but for some people, maybe.
Yeah, for sure. And for a lot of bands, this is still the approach, you know, that. But for sure, there's not the. It's a very few artists actually have that budget to do that kind of stuff, you know, these days. But you can still spend years and years and years making albums if that's how you function well creatively. I think then that's great, you know. So you just have to figure out what works for you, I guess.
In some way, you are inspired by I don't know, the 60s and the 70s of album making, because you chose a very special location to create your album. This one was at the studio was where the Doors were already recording.
Sunset Sound.
Yeah, Sunset Sound.
Yeah, but not really. I mean, we did vocals and some bass and stuff in there, but what we're talking about is very different. That's like Sharon said, spending 2 years in a studio making something from scratch, you know, that's a whole different thing. We went into the studio with all finished songs, pretty much, you know, just do finishing touches on them. So it's very different.
Yeah, I mean, also, we wouldn't be able to afford 2 years in Sunset Sound.
No one would these days.
Things have changed today.
But yeah, it's... I mean, it's always nice to sort of include the air of history, some, you know, in some shape or form. And that doesn't mean that we're a retro band, because we work very non-retro in the sense that we...
Because like, this is how you are.
Completely.
You're described to be a retro band.
Yeah, no, it is true. We are. And in some ways, like you're saying, we love the air of history and finding inspiration within that, but the sound of the Ravenettes is definitely very electronic and modern as well, you know, so it's kind of a combination of very old and very new, I guess.
The old being incorporating the piano.
Huh? Yeah, the piano, that's right.
What is the new?
What I mean is it's just that... I mean, we're not a retro-sounding band in the sense that we always have a lot of electronic sounds and tracks and samples. And when we play live, you'll hear this tonight as well. It's a very, it's very, very sort of electronic-sounding, you know, with drum triggers, and it's not traditional, you know, retro vintage sound as such.
In the Obsolete, the thin red line of what the concept of album is about is the stories of the people you've met. And, you know, I've read in one interview it's love stories, and I'm just curious if one in particular that was most memorable to you.
I don't understand the question.
The red line, I mean, the songs that were written for the Obsolete are more or less, as I've read, stories about people you've met. And I'm just curious of one maybe in particular that was very memorable for you and that you chose it to make a song.
Well, the New York Street Dancer. She's fun. Yeah. She owns the streets, that song. Yeah, she's a cool gal. Loan, her name is. Yeah, I don't know. She dances in the streets in New York. She's fun.
And you use the same producer as in the Pretty in Black.
Mm-hmm.
The previous album, that's the second album, it's quite different from this one. Yeah, the mm-hmm. producer is the same. You spoke of him very highly, very good friends with him.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that during time, because this album is much more different than that one, did the relationship maybe evolve? Has it changed in that part of the album? It's different, or is it just your personal input in the album and he sort of followed?
Yeah, I think it was more that he sort of followed. I mean, I mean, Richard is, he's not the kind of producer who sort of comes in and deconstructs a band and changes everything around. I mean, for us, he's more of like a, you know, he's a good inspiration and a good vibe to have around. You know, he has good stories from his sort of many years in the music industry, and he's really great with recording vocals and sort of getting those vocal takes right. And so it's more in that sense, I think we use him as like a, as, you know, a friend and supervisor in the studio, but he doesn't come in and completely, you know, deconstructs the band.
Mm-hmm. Is it your both collaboration and each album that you do 50-50 work?
Some
strict, I want to do this, and the other one follows?
Well, probably Sune is more the one who takes charge of an album. He's the main songwriter, or he's the songwriter in the band. So I would say for sure it's more of Sune's universe. And like, you know, his... And then, but then obviously when he writes songs, which he does write a lot of songs, we will choose songs together, so that he obviously is interested in me having some kind of enthusiasm and excitement about the songs.
Mm-hmm.
So then some songs, if we don't feel, both of us feel them, you know, they won't go on an album.
You also produced the Dum Dum Girls,
yes,
second album. They performed here 2 years ago. I'm gonna quit with the labeling part, I think, trying to make you out as a special type of band here. I'm just gonna ask, the sound also sounds very surf rock, although they're all girl band and you are like a bit as a duo. Did they come to that by themselves, or I mean, how do you feel about that? Because your music is similar in some ways.
Well, I've produced 3 albums with them actually.
Ah, okay.
And the more I work with them, the more I end up playing on the album. And on the last album, I pretty much played everything on it.
Mm-hmm.
That'll come out this year, maybe, or next year.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, it's gonna sound a little bit more like my style, a little bit will be involved in it, you know. But other than that, I think they're very different from us, because Dee Dee writes very different songs than I do. She's a completely different songwriter, and I always just listen to the songs, really. So to me, they're very different.
How did you feel like being a producer?
I'm trying it out now to see if I like it, and so far I've only had good experiences with it so far.
Mm-hmm.
So that's nice. But if it's something that I want to do more and more, and if I even think I'm good at, I don't know yet. I'm just gonna have to try.
Mm-hmm.
And see if I have confidence enough to think that I'm good enough to take on more work. I don't know. We'll see.
You guys talk a lot about not being meant to be any sort of being labeled by anything, and I'd just like to ask you to describe your music the way you want to, on your own words.
Rock and roll.
That's
how I always described it throughout 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sharon?
I concur.
Yeah. That's really just what it is.
Do you feel like, do you feel comfortable with changing the music, maybe? Would you like maybe to sound a bit different?
I think if you listen to Ravenette's albums, you'll find that we feel way too comfortable changing our sound. And I think sometimes we confuse people because we sort of, because we don't really care. Mm-hmm. In that sense, about confusing people.
Yeah. And
I don't know. I just, but we do talk about it sometimes. You know, it can be a little bit schizophrenic listening to a Ravenette's concert, really, because we go from, you know, with the atmosphere of Whip It On to the atmosphere of Raven in the Grave. It's like it's extremely different. So I think it can be confusing, but it can also be quite exciting because it's still still very Ravenettes, but it's very varied, and it's got a lot of elements to it, you know. So it's everything from like super, you know, super melodic to very, you know, punk, punk rock.
Tonight's your first concert here in Slovenia. Just like for you to tell me, what can we expect from your concert that we haven't seen before, maybe?
Oh, well, the Ravenettes? You definitely haven't seen before here.
That's true.
I don't know what else to say. I think people should just come out for them, check it out themselves. They'll tell us afterwards if they heard anything they haven't seen before. I mean, I have to be honest with you and say that we're not entertainers, but we play music and it sounds really cool.
Do you feel like the audience has changed since you began playing together 11 years ago until now? Do you feel like there's been a change in people who listen to you, or maybe some?
No, I don't think so. I think the audience just changes depending on where you are, really, in the world, you know? Like, you know, if you go down to Brazil or something, people are, you know, they like to dance and stuff like that. And, you know, they show their emotions a little bit more than if you play in, I don't know, New York City or something. People are more, they want to appear to be more cool and maybe just stand there and listen to the music, which is fine too. But it changes a lot where you are in the world, you know?
It changes sometimes from the day of the week.
Yeah.
You know, if you go play a concert on a Monday, people are a little bit more reserved and quiet. And if you play on a Saturday, it's a little more of a celebratory atmosphere in the room. So I think it's got something to do with that too, where people are at in their week. Or life, you know. If you play at a festival in the daytime, it's very different from the festival at night.
Would you prefer festivals to concerts?
No.
I like
smaller events to bigger events.
I like club shows, actually. I think it's nice to have the... It's cool to play festivals at night in the tent. I like that, too. Again, I like the sort of confinement of the darkness that you can create. You know, an atmosphere with the lights and stuff.
Is there a place that you haven't played before and would you love to?
Yes.
Buenos Aires.
Buenos Aires, for sure. I think, what was the other one I thought about lately that would be
Prague.
I
never played in Prague. Now
Prague
we're playing in
Ljubljana
nice. Tonight.
I think...
I feel like there's a lot of places. We haven't done too much in the Far East.
Mm-hmm. It would be great to play South Africa, actually. Johannesburg.
Yeah.
Johannesburg.
Maybe, I would like to play, I don't know, like, New Zealand, actually.
Yes. Absolutely. and of course the number one,
Kuwait.
Honolulu.
I want to play Kuwait.
Are you on your own there, honey? I'll go to Honolulu instead.
All the fire so fast come down.
lot of expectations with you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys better be good tonight. It's not about us. It's about you. There are 400 or 500 of you. If you're not doing it. What the hell?
We need to see what you guys have to offer here in Slovenia.
Do you guys actually serve?
Sooner.
I've tried it.
Yes?
Yeah.
So that was Sooner's near-death experience.
Yeah, yeah. No, I nearly drowned, so I didn't like it first time. But I'm going to start surfing again when it gets a little bit warmer now in Los Angeles. Absolutely, for sure.
Kvala.
That's a cool word.
Kvala.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Kvala.
Interview Radia Student.